The sermon, Carlos Martinez from the island of Puerto Rico, as we're glad to hear his weather has been pleasant and pleasing to them this past week, and we just want to bring him on now. He feels good and strong and ready to give us a sermon, give us meat from God's word. And so, Mr. Martinez, we'll just call upon you to come up to the mic and deliver. Mr. Martinez.
Hey, thank you, Mr. Russell.
Welcome.
Good afternoon, brethren, and I hope everyone is having a great and restful Sabbath so far. I know we are here in Puerto Rico, and pray you are too, wherever you might be. Like Mr. Russell said, our weather here in Puerto Rico has been really good. Very few rain showers this week, just mainly warm, mid-80s to low 90s. It's a beautiful blue sky, clear day here in Puerto Rico, so we're very thankful to God for that. So, and also want to thank everybody for their prayers. Everything went well this week with one of the studies. But the study that they did, just waiting on some results for other blood work as well. So, just appreciate everyone's prayers on that regard. Well, brethren, for today's sermon, we will be looking at a specific character and book in the Bible to show us a lesson we can all apply in our lives, especially during these difficult and trying times. We know the world is corrupt, filled with Satan and his demons constantly trying to test our patience, our resilience, and our faith throughout many of life's trials and tribulations. Also, we know that it can be incredibly difficult at times to adapt our Christian character with our human nature, especially when it comes to our everyday life, our daily routine, and including managing and dealing with people. Yet, for everything that happens to us, we always have to deal with one particular aspect in our lives that we cannot get off or away with. I'm talking about dealing directly with people. Because dealing with people is part of our daily lives, it is practically inevitable to avoid contact with them, whether directly or indirectly. We see people in our family, at our homes. We see people at our jobs when we go in. We see people on the road during our daily and nightly commute. And trust me, even that is hard to bear at times, depending on the traffic and the creative drivers that all places seem to have. We see our neighbors at times, whether it is a quick hello, greeting, and see how everything is going. Obviously, anytime we go to the grocery store, shopping, the malls, restaurants, and any recreational place we might assist, there are always people around. There is just no avoiding that. However, on the subject of people in general, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever wondered why, during the most difficult and tensive situations, we have to deal with people? Also, I want to ask a second question in this line of thought. How do we manage to deal with people even when the person or people we are dealing with often have done something in our past that is incredibly difficult to overcome. Well, brethren, today I want to answer these two questions through the lens and point of view of a particular character in the Bible. In a book where we often do not turn to, but serves as an instrumental example of how to overcome these two problems we see in our lives. Brethren, I am talking about the book in the New Testament that relates the epistle of Philemon. In fact, today's sermon is titled, Learning from Philemon. Learning from Philemon. We will see throughout this sermon how this epistle serves as an example that each and every one of us can apply every day, and also serve as an in-depth study of this short but powerful New Testament book. Brethren, let's start with some background into the book of Philemon. First, let's begin with something I wasn't even aware of until I was putting together this sermon. And that is the correct pronunciation of the name in the first place. For example, I used to call this book Philemon, with the emphasis at the beginning with the P-H-I. However, after careful research, the correct pronunciation of the word in English is Philemon, with the emphasis on the L-E. To add to the fact, the word Philemon is Strong's Concordance 5371. From the Greek word Philemon. Now the Greek pronunciation is actually F-E-L-A-M-O-N. Philemon. And the word means kindly, which is an interesting meaning all to itself, because we will be talking about this word as we go along with the sermon for today. Also, the book of Philemon is in the New Testament, as I mentioned before. And it is right after the book of Titus and right before the book of Hebrews, which I know are several books in the New Testament that we often refer to, whether through our sermons or on our own study. The book of Philemon is written by Paul, and during this time, Paul is in prison. And while being in prison, he is inspired to write to Philemon, who is his brother in Christ. Now, we all know Paul wrote many letters to many churches during his time on this earth, as it was part of God's plan for him. However, a very small letter makes its way to the Holy Scriptures, and I do not believe that it was by accident, brethren. Every single book that is in the Holy Bible on our laps today serves an important and divine purpose from God to mankind. Each book teaches us something different. And Philemon was no different. Philemon will show us several lessons we can take and apply to our daily lives. This book in the New Testament will be broken down into four distinct parts. First, we will look at the introduction given by Paul to Philemon and how it differentiates itself from other epistles in the New Testament. Secondly, we will look at the introduction of an important character in this book and the reason it was written in the first place. And I'm talking about the character of Onesimus. Thirdly, we will learn what it is like to have to do things genuinely from the heart and not the mind. Finally, we will learn of Paul's meaning of reassurance in our daily lives with people and how we must do more in our lives, especially with dealing with difficulty in people themselves. We will spend the entire sermon in this book, and you could start turning there if you have not already to begin. Let's begin in the book of Philemon, verses 1 through 3, and begin with the introduction set forth by Paul to Philemon. Philemon, verses 1 through 3. Reading out of the King James Version, it says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved, and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The introduction set forth by Paul in this New Testament book is unique, brethren. Paul is already a prisoner and mentions Timothy as well and represents his stance and association with Philemon as a beloved and fellow laborer. Paul understood that this letter needed to be written in order to represent an important message on the part of him to Philemon in the first place. Also, this introduction is an indication that there will be instructions to follow in the near future. As we make our way through the sermon today and find out, let's continue in the book of Philemon, but this time, reading verses 4 through 6. It says, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus, and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. This acknowledgement of the faith made by Paul to Philemon presents an interesting perspective. We notice that in verse 4, Paul alludes to mentioning Philemon in his prayers, and that Paul indeed has learned of the love and faith carried out by Philemon during his time on this earth. Also, the same faith in Christ seen by Paul and Philemon are a correlation of knowing how the good things through Jesus Christ are possible, especially when it comes to the development of character. Paul takes his time presenting each and every introductory verse to amplify the details that are needed in this story. Just like Paul wrote in his other epistles that we read in our Bibles today, Paul dedicates important timing on these aspects. Because of the brotherly love seen in the way he writes to Philemon, Paul just does not go into detail of what needs to be read, but rather he knows that he must properly greet Philemon as the development of the nature of the letter takes hold. Let's continue in the book of Philemon, this time reading verses 7 through 9. It says, "For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because of the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Brethren," Paul paints a unique picture with these verses. We read about Paul talking about having great joy and consolation in the brotherly love given into consideration with Philemon. Paul is expressing how his heart feels when writing his letter, in that he feels refreshed on the inside because he knows who he is addressing this letter to. In addition, Paul writes not to command Philemon to do something in particular, but like we read in verse 9, Paul is appealing to Philemon due to the current situation in prison Paul is facing. And appealing is something done out of respect toward Philemon. Let's read now verse 10 and go into the second element for the sermon today, and that is the introduction of the character of Onesimus. Verse 10, it reads, "I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. The second element for this sermon centers around the character of Onesimus, brethren. And it is the reason why this letter was written in the first place. Paul is appealing to Philemon on behalf of Onesimus because of what needs to be done in the first place, especially on the part of Philemon. Let's turn to the book of Colossians and read more about Onesimus. But do keep your finger in Philemon because we will be going back to it. Colossians chapter 4, verse 9. Colossians chapter 4, verse 9. It says, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Paul is explaining who Onesimus is to the brethren in Colossians and describes Onesimus as a faithful and beloved brother who is one of them as well. Paul knows where Onesimus comes from and he needs to address this to Philemon because of what he is appealing Philemon to do later in the book, in the New Testament, as we will see. Let's turn back to the book of Philemon. And let's read verses 11 and 12. Philemon, verses 11 and 12. It says, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels. Brethren, we begin to see how things unfold in the purpose of Paul writing this epistle to Philemon in the first place. Now, before going any further, I would like to take some time to explain the name of Onesimus. It is Strong's Concordance 3682. From the Greek word Onesimos, which is spelled O-N-E-S-I-M-O-S, and means useful. So, if we pay attention to what the word Philemon means, which is kindly, and Onesimus, which is useful, we can kind of get an idea that Paul is writing about kindness and usefulness. And those two words will be touched on later on during the sermon. Just want you to have an idea of where I am going with this for today. Because we read about Paul mentioning how Onesimus was in the past unprofitable to Philemon, Paul begins directing the message from a negative connotation to a positive one. Paul recognizes that Onesimus was not faithful with his former master, Philemon. But even with everything that happened in the past, Paul is writing because he has sent Onesimus to Philemon again and mentions to Philemon that he needs to receive him. But not just physically, but also from the heart. One of the ideas that Paul is planting into the mind of Philemon is to start forgetting about the past. If Philemon is to receive Onesimus, there needs to be a forgetful attitude, because believe me, Philemon was going to know what happened in the past and would surely bring it up when the two met in person again. Now, can you imagine yourself in the position of Philemon, brethren? If all of a sudden someone from our past would have to come back to our lives, how would we react? I know it is a difficult question, because our first instinct with our human nature would be to say, no, there's no way I could see such and such person again. I remember what he or she did. I mention this example to you today because there are still two more lessons to be learned during this passage in the New Testament. And I would like you to keep that reaction in mind as we continue along with the sermon. Let's continue in the book of Philemon, this time reading verse 13. It says, "Whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel." Paul expresses an interesting point here for us to take into consideration. Imagine the person that would do us wrong and have no business in being part of our lives again. Yet, Paul writes in this verse how he would have retained Onesimus to minister unto him, even while he was in his chains in prison. This is something truly remarkable, brethren, because it would be very difficult for us today to even comprehend such an action done on our part. Paul is planting the seeds to Philemon to take into consideration what needs to be done in our Christian character to overcome such a difficult situation. Because this is what being a Christian is all about, brethren. Overcoming tension and difficult situations that come across our way during our daily life. Because life will often throw us in tumultuous and stressful situations, we must put ourselves in the same position as Paul is writing to Philemon to do. And regardless of what the situation facing us could be, we need to exemplify our character through everything that is happening in our surroundings, particularly when it comes to dealing and managing with people. 17 now, here in the book of Philemon. It says, but without thy mind, would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. This verse serves a powerful purpose for us today, brothers. Paul is telling Philemon that when we do things, they should be done of our own free will, and not because of any obligation set forth by anyone. Things need to be done from the heart and out of our own goodwill, especially when it comes to doing good deeds for others. We should not feel forced to do something just because the Holy Scriptures say it is the right thing to do, because then we would just be doing them to do them and get them done. Remember, God looks at the heart, brethren, specifically when it comes to our own actions. We need to focus on making sure our heart is at the center of what needs to be done, because our Christian character is not how we look on the outside, but how we do things from the innermost part, our heart. God looks at the heart because it is the essence of our being, and our true intentions will never be obscured because of how God sees us each and every day. Let's continue reading verses 15 and 16. It says, for perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldst receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Paul writes an interesting dialogue, especially when it comes to the reaction Philemon should have during this situation. For example, Paul appeals to Philemon to forgive and forget the past, and receive Onesimus as a beloved brother in Christ, not as the former slave that he was. These two verses should make us realize that in the event that something similar should happen to us, we should move on from the past and focus on the important matter at hand, and that is to accept the fact that people will be our brothers in Christ above any relationship the person might have with us. We are all children of God, and it does not matter how much time has gone by. People should be forgiven for the mistakes made on their part in our lives. Let's read verse 17 now. says, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. I ask you a question regarding this verse today. Would you be willing to receive any person, just like Paul told Philemon to receive Onesimus, as if Paul would be stopping by? Would we change our attitude in our hearts and minds over this particular situation? Let's read verses 18 and 19 to find out more. If he has wronged thee or owes thee aught, put that on my account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides. We read in these verses how Paul urges Philemon to forgive and forget. In fact, Paul himself wrote that any and all debt associated with Onesimus will be paid by Paul. The lesson taught here throughout these verses is that we need to learn how to apply the lessons of forgiving and forgetting. Now, I will admit, this is no easy task. By nature, we like to forgive people because it is in our Christian character. However, it is not always easy to forget about what has happened in a specific stage in our lives. The debt owed by Onesimus to Philemon is of no concern to Paul. Paul is more occupied about what Philemon ought to do with his heart, rather than worry about monetary or labor owed. Let's continue in verse 20. It says, yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Paul addresses his final point to Philemon in this letter, and that is to convey the message of reassurance that we must have in our lives because of the attitude and reaction we take for what happens to us. Paul writes that he wants his heart refreshed in the Lord because of the reaction that Philemon would have with Onesimus. And Paul's message of reassurance should encourage us, brethren, to act in the same way, regardless of the circumstances that happened in our lives. We need to make sure that we act in accordance to what is expected of us. Each and every time something like this happens in our lives, also, it is important to acknowledge the critical element that we need to reassure our trust and faith in God and His Son, Jesus the Christ, of how joy can be experienced throughout all of this. Reading now verses 21 and 22. It says, having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. The message from Paul to Philemon is as clear as daytime for all of us today. And that is that we need to do more than just do the minimum requirements. We need to do more than what is expected from us, because the bar set by Paul in his inspired letter is high, and our expectations should be high as well. Now, by no means will we be perfect in everything we do, because that's just not possible. However, there needs to be a combination put in place to make this possible. And that is that we need to do more and always be ready. Paul writes this emphasis in verse 22 as a means of letting Philemon and us know that we need to be ready for anything and everything that comes our way. We have God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, at our disposal at all times. Just like Paul was inspired to write this letter to Philemon, we too should take on the example presented by Paul in this letter to do what is required of us if and when the situation comes up. We need to forget the past. We need to learn to forgive and do things from the heart. Finally, we need the reassurance and do more in our lives than just the bare minimum. We need to have the same hearing and devotion we just read in this book in order to promote a better Christian character in our lives. Let's conclude in verses 23 through 25. And pay close attention to the names that are mentioned here, which are very familiar. It says, there salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus. Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. my message for today. I will turn